Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Town Talk financed this morning by Deakin Wealth Management, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. Stafford County Schools are our focus this morning. It's the last day in Spotsylvania. Stafford's still got a couple more weeks of school left, and we welcome to the program. Welcome back. Superintendent Dr. Scott Kisner is here, and Cherie Johnson is here, the Director of Strategic Communications and Community Engagement. Good morning to both of you. Thanks for getting up.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for doing this.
Dr. Kisner, I remember when you came in, you'd only been here a short time and came in last fall. You hit the ground running. You started here September 1st, and school started right after Labor Day, and you've been a whirlwind since.
Yeah, I'm still running. I don't know if I'm running away or just keep on running, but it's been great. It's gone by fast as can be. We still have to June 14th, graduation June 15th, but... really have learned to love this place, so it's been a good journey.
There have been times where either I was watching school board meetings or I would see you in the community, and I've just thought you're a good fit for Stafford County. I think you take things seriously and take people's concerns to heart, and that's been my impression, just kind of afar as I have watched you.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I mean, this is my 20th year as superintendent, so I've had. I've had an opportunity to learn as I continued my growth as a superintendent, and I think people in my position need to really appreciate and recognize the value of listening to others and be willing to hear things that you may not necessarily either agree with initially or have thought of. So.
Well, one of the things I don't think I'll ever forget from this year and ever forget is at least the one single story that I will remember from this school year was a little girl coming before the school board this spring and talking about plastic straws.
Yes,
she gave a great presentation. I remember thinking, oh, that's nice. And lo and behold, a couple weeks later, what she had proposed came to be, and that's where I thought that's where I really came away with the thought, you listen to people, and when there's something that can be done, so often with government things, we'll study it for a while, then it goes away and you never hear from it again, but you did something.
Yeah, so that student at Conway Elementary School, again, this is a good example. She brought up something that, truthfully, I never even thought about. It wasn't on my radar.
Yeah.
I go at least once a week. I sit down in one of the cafeterias and either eat with the children. So, so honestly, that was not difficult to implement. I'm very fortunate. We're very fortunate to have a cafeteria leadership or food service leadership that understood that there's a different way of doing it. And I was glad not only for the student, but really for the community, because there's nothing wrong with being environmentally conscious. So, that's interesting you brought that up, because one of the things I'm planning to implement next year is a high school student superintendent advisory council, and probably have four high school students per school, and learn and listen from them on ways that we could improve our school system and maybe the community. Giving voice to young people is not only important, but I think it also models that the school system recognizes that the reason we're a school system is because we got almost 30,000 young people, and they need to be heard.
So, yeah. To me, it showed that if you've got an idea and it's something that's reasonable and doable, someone's going to consider it. Maybe it doesn't happen as quick or even happen, but the fact that did, I think, should give any kind of student hope.
And you know, it's interesting. When I go to restaurants now, I'm sensitive. Do they have plastic drawers?
I know. I have the same thing. It was the same thing because at first I thought, well, that's a good idea, but it's probably not reasonable. But what other things do you take away from this year in Stafford County Schools?
I mean, I think I take away, you know, so I'm not the easiest person to work for. I think Sheree would tell you that, and everybody who works closely with me. I'm pretty a person's not satisfied ever. I kind of wake up in the morning and say, like, what could I do better today than I did yesterday? And so I push myself. And so I go into classrooms. I'm still visiting buildings almost every day when I'm in the county. And I go there really to learn by observing and listening to people. But you cannot not walk away with thinking, wow, I wonder if we could. Is every kid really being impacted by our successes? Are there children that truly need a different model, a different approach, greater supports, and staff? The other night we had our awards program where we recognize teachers for being Teacher of the Year from their building and new Teacher of the Year and principal and school counselor. And as I was sitting there, I was thinking, you know, and I actually said this in my closing remarks, that learning is not just for the children, it's for the adults also. So I think my greatest takeaway is, now that I've been here, you know, almost 9 months, I think I'm in a better position for next year to start working with people on strategically addressing areas that truthfully need to be addressed. We still have way too many children not being successful. And successful is not only being measured by standards of SOL tests. I'm talking the social-emotional needs of children, the physical needs of children, children being able to access our most exciting and advanced classes, parents being part of our school system. So there's a lot of things that we could do differently and hopefully do it better. But I'm not one that just wants to say, let's just do it different because you have a different superintendent and I want to put this on my resume. I like to do things strategically, and I want to do it in a way that hopefully it will be sustainable.
And interesting that you, like you say, you've been here now. After just kind of seeing things run for a year, you can start tweaking things along the way now.
Yeah, I mean, we have great staff, I have to say. You know, I know we hear this a lot, but it is true. Working, I mean, just think about it. So this is Memorial Day weekend. And there's going to be a lot of parents driving their children to the beach, to grandma's house, wherever they're going. You have two or three kids in your car for an hour or two. You just want to, like, pull over and, like, you know, like throw them out the car, right?
Yeah.
Don't do that, but you might be thinking it. So here we have, you know, 180 days. You have adults who are watching 25 to 30 and maybe at the middle and high school, 150 kids who are not even their kids for 6-7 hours a day.
Yeah.
And so it's a stressful job just by the nature of who I like to use the term customer. And our customer are our children. They're our clients. So we have great teachers. We have great bus drivers and teacher assistants and office assistants. And but that's words. And what we need to learn is how we could even make this a better working environment for them. You know, there's been a lot of discussion, rightfully so, to give better raises than have been offered in the past. And I do want to thank the Board of Supervisors and School Board for hearing that call. But I also know, as superintendent, you could give, you know, a lot of raises, but if you don't change the working conditions in a sense where people really feel valued and empowered and included, then dissatisfaction will surface very quickly.
Dr. Scott Kisner here this morning, the superintendent in Stafford County. We will continue this conversation when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. Miss an episode of Town Talk? No problem. Just subscribe to the Town Talk podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Music. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Stafford School Superintendent Dr. Scott Kisner here this morning. Sheree Johnson also with Stafford County Schools here this morning as we kind of look back and look ahead. You kind of mentioned, you mentioned a few minutes ago just about some of the things that you're looking at, just kind of tweaking and giving high school students a voice. I'm sure this will be an interesting summer for you now that you have had a chance to kind of just sit down and kind of sit back and reflect on the year.
Yeah, so I rolled out to the administration and my staff advisory and parent advisory the strategic model I'm going to use, working with people, of course, for continuous improvement. And there's a, you know, I'll just mention a few of them right now. One is making sure that there's an authentic relationship and partnership with families, homeschool partnerships, looking at the social emotional needs of our children, looking at children as unique individuals, so tiered instructional support, that when we go into a classroom with 20, 25, 30 kids, every one of those kids learn differently, learn at different rates. Mm-hmm. So we have to make sure our teachers have the tools, the resources, the knowledge to make sure to help each child be successful. One of the things that I've always talked a lot about, but we'll talk about it, but have action that will follow it, is this notion of equity and excellence. Because a lot of school divisions, and Stafford also, we speak a lot about equal, and equal would mean, okay, we have 17 elementary schools, everybody gets one reading teacher, let's use that as an example. But we may find that one or two of our elementary schools has a much higher percentage of children who are reading below grade level. So in the equity model, you would put the resources based on the needs of the children and not automatically have a formula that says we just divide the number of schools by the number of resources. And there's a lot more to that. You know, when I interviewed for Stafford, truthfully, I didn't know a lot about Stafford. I'm just being honest with you. I probably ended up knowing so much more than most people because I studied it. You know, I read all the data. I actually, this might be the first time I ever telling this story, but during my interviews, I had two or three interviews. Well, I had one with the search firm and then two with the school board. I was coming to Stafford. I was visiting. No one knew. Luckily, the police didn't pull me over, but yeah. I was visiting the schools and get a sense of the community because, you know, I loved where I was, and you know, this was a big move not only for myself but for my family. So I want to really make sure there was a good fit. But the reason I bring it up is because we have amazing diversity in our schools, and maybe most people think of Stafford because we have, you know, depending on who you talk to, we're either very wealthy, we're either out of Northern Virginia, we're not out of Northern Virginia. You know, a lot of people just see us on I-95. So the diversity of our school systems, in my judgment, is really the strength of our school system. That children can learn from other children different than themselves. And what we don't want to do is use diversity as a reason why not every kid could be the next Nobel Prize winner. I believe like every kid could be the next Nobel Prize winner. And Ted, if you think about this, the kids that are going to be entering us in kindergarten in August, they're the class of 2032.
Wow.
I know. So like we have to be thinking like not only today. One of the things I loved playing is chess. When I grew up in New York, I used to go across the street from my house was PS214 and we had all these cement chess boards. You know, they were part of the tables.
Yeah.
And I truly would go out there. They had lights. Sometimes we'd be playing 11, 12, 1 in the morning. My parents would be looking for me, but they always knew I'd be playing chess in most cases with people much older than myself. But I really learned it, and I learned from that experience is to think 3, 4, 5 steps ahead.
Yeah.
So that's how I kind of want us to be thinking, not just to keep reacting to what's happening today, but to think 3, 4, 5 steps ahead so our kids will always have the challenges that they need. So when they walk across the stage on June 15th, they'll be much better prepared for their next journey after they graduate from Stafford Public Schools.
Isn't that interesting, though, Dr. Kisner, to think about you know how far down the line it is for kids who are going into school today? Because you think of kids today who are graduating who went in. In what I guess it would have been like the early 2000s.
Yeah. So and that's the whole thing. Like you can't. There was this equity discussion. Like you have to treat the curriculum expectations for the kindergarten first graders different than the 11th and 12th graders.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, I over a spring break I went to Florida and I was on an airplane and somehow I got sitting next to like a 4-year-old, 5-year-old. I think, oh, this is going to be nightmarish. But I'm supposed to like kids because I'm the superintendent. So yeah. I'll act like I like this kid. But I really did like this kid because the whole time this 4 or 5-year-old kid had like an iPad or a Chromebook in front of him. And he, for the 2.5-3 hour flight, he was just glued. So I'm thinking, okay, now I'm thinking like the superintendent. Okay, so this kid's out. When he gets to kindergarten, maybe he is already in kindergarten, I obviously didn't know him, but our technology and what this kid already knows is so misaligned. Like this kid is already doing things that we have, like our second and third graders learning. So that's an example, like we have to do a much better job understanding our student base, and part of that is really working very closely with families. And I have to tell you, I'm very proud of a lot of our principals and teachers, and because they do, like last night at Park Ridge, they had diversity night, they had dinner, and they had, you know, a lot of people from the community almost every weekend. You know, you're at a lot of these. One of our schools has a parent community program, and that to me is saying, we want to learn about your child and your family outside the context of a school setting.
Well, you mentioned that. I was just going to say to you, you have so many schools that do so many things. I mean, I think of what they do, especially with autism at like Conway. But a lot of schools, and you mentioned, you know, what you went to, you know, last night. There's just a lot of schools are meeting a lot of different needs that in their populations.
They are. And again, I hope people feel what I'm about to say. I think that is what excites you. When I mentioned earlier about the money part, yeah, we want people to be paid more, but it's the mission and the belief that I can make a difference and a positive difference. I told at this event that we had the other day at Stafford High School, I shared with the teachers in the audience, is like, don't minimize the power you have to influence a child either the most positive way or maybe a negative way. And I said, you know, we could all think back. Today's my 61st birthday, just so you know. There's nothing better I would have liked to have done than start my morning birthday with you guys.
Yes.
But, yeah, so I obviously graduated elementary school, PS214 in Flushing, Queens, many, many years ago. But I could still think back of the teachers that I feel really encouraged me, even when I was having like my worst day or made the greatest mistakes, or that teacher that really kind of gave me a message like, I am not really worth a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And those, so we have to remind ourselves as staff members that the messaging that we tell our young people really will be lifelong, will be lifelong memories. So I just think that, you know, again, we've been in many ways blessed to be given a position to work with little people. And the older people, you know, we need to see every kid as a good person and then build on that goodness. And it's easy to say, and sometimes it's just harder to implement. So what I'm going to be doing over the summer to get, you know, to your point, working with a lot of people is having honest conversations. What are we doing really well, and what do we need to do better to make sure every kid's successful?
As we talk, and you told the story of sitting next to the child on the airplane, I also think of a lot of times on this show, whether it's Congressman Whitman or someone at the state level, talking about broadband and how important that issue really is to make sure that gets done.
Well, you know, if the board member's listening, so there are parts of Stafford, as you know, and a lot of people, where your phone just conks out.
Yeah.
And I was having a conversation with a board member, and she was convinced that I hung up on her.
Yeah.
And now I have to tell you, I was thinking about doing that, but I did not do that. I was on Route 17 heading west.
I know exactly where you would have been. No service.
Yeah, no service. And I'm thinking, oh, God, I'm sure she believes this is intentional. It was thought about, but it wasn't intentional. And I'm thinking, okay, but that's, you know, so like, we sometimes take things for granted that we shouldn't, you know.
I run into that all the time, and I never thought, though, if next time I get into one of those kind of conversations, I'll just drop the call. But that is important as far as education goes. If you're a family or your kids are living in a zone like that.
And the other way, like, I have three daughters. They're much older. Two of them are teachers, one in Rockingham outside of Harrisonburg and one in Arlington. So they'll have to make the decision if they were fortunate, but they were fortunate in many ways that their parents had all the resources available. So if they needed technology and things like that, they had it with them. If they needed help in school with academics or, you know, dance lessons or piano lessons, my wife and I were in a position to support that. Well, they're sitting next to children in their schools that don't have that advantage. So schools really play a great role in making sure. So if teachers want to give assignments that require research, but you know that a child's going home to a house that maybe it doesn't even have connectivity or doesn't have, you know, internet services, then we need to make sure that we don't take away that assignment, but we provide the supports at the school, and we get the transportation so he or she could get home. And that's what equity is about. You just make sure you acknowledge the difference that every child brings to our school system.
Dr. Scott Kisner here this morning on Town Talk and News Talk 1230 WFVA. Much more to talk about as we talk about Stafford County Schools. It's a short summer in Stafford. We'll get into that and also talk about some events coming up this summer that you will want to know about. Town Talk, financed by Deakin Wealth Management, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Good to have you along. We will be right back. It's now 8:30.
I had the radio on. I'm listening to
Talk Done Right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. You can weigh in about today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
We're talking Stafford County Schools this morning. Dr. Scott Kisner is here. Sheree Johnson here from Stafford County Schools. This, Dr. Kisner, is for teachers in Spotsylvania. They should be able to provide some help to Stafford County teachers this year, because this is a short summer for Stafford. Spotsylvania did that last year. The payoff will be next year at this time when they get out early. But the whole region now, Stafford and the city, have joined a lot of other area schools that will be starting in August.
Yeah, so... you know, it's one of these things that you got to make a decision, then you got to go through a transition period. You know, our teachers, I think maybe our three, I think there'll be a 3 weeks that our folks will have less of a summer this year. You know, it's an interesting, you know, there's never a right time to do these things. So I need to make that point first. Oh, let me just correct myself. I said Jessica. That little girl's name was Lily.
Lily.
Okay. So, you know, we're opening up a new elementary school, Moncur Elementary School. It's replacing the current Moncur. And that's on a very tight timeline. We're opening up a new early childhood center up at near North Stafford High School called North Star. And, of course, you know, I'm almost afraid to say the word, but we did a redistricting. So we have a lot of things going on, and then we have this abbreviated summer. So this year our teachers will come in late July or early August.
We have our new teacher institute July 29th through August 2nd, so they'll be coming.
Yeah, so they'll be coming. You know, again, change is always – people respond to change differently.
They do.
you know, I just remember so many years. My first year as a superintendent, this was in Wesley, Rhode Island, which is right, beautiful community, right north of Mystic, Connecticut, on the water. And I tried to change the school calendar to actually open up before Labor Day. And my school board, I think they were just trying to be supportive of me because they didn't tell me like that. It's like you never, ever do this in a beach community because everybody goes to the beach or they need the young people to work. So different than in Virginia, superintendents had the authority to do the calendars pretty much in isolation. So long story short, I roll out this thing to start like a week before Labor Day. It was one of those years where Labor Day was later because of, you know, how it changes each year.
Yeah.
And my school board chairman, I'll never forget this, Nancy Dodge, the nicest woman in the world, she calls me and says, Scott, you know, I just want to let you know, like, you know, Wesley, beach town, Labor Day, very important. I said, yeah, I know, I would imagine so. Yeah, and you know how you change the calendar? So could you change it the other way? So I said, yeah, so we'll open up after Labor Day.
Yeah.
But I've always, you know, every school I, you know, growing up has always been after Labor Day. I guess people want to, I don't know. I'm a traditionalist on this one. As much as I like to be innovative and change, I still like a long summer. And I work every day anyway, but it's still, so our teachers and students, you know, the kids, they don't really know what I do, but they do know one thing I do is snow days. And so I'm, as I share with you, I'm in the schools a lot. And when teachers try to explain what I do, and it's usually, oh, he's like the principal of the principals. He's the boss of the school system. And the kids look at me, okay, what else could we do? And then I'll say, oh, and I call two-hour delays in snow days. And they all perk up like, now I am king.
Yeah.
I am like one step away from God. And then, but then even in this nice, beautiful, warm weather we're having, they'll say, well, why the, like this kid the other day, great fourth grader at Widewater Elementary School, said, why can't you just call like a, what do you call it? Oh, a happy day. Like, why can't we just be off because we're all going to be happy? And I said, I kind of love that idea.
It is kind of a good idea.
Yeah. I don't know how your parents or the community would respond if I just announced we are all off because we're all happy.
Yeah.
I think there'll be a lot of unhappy people. But
anyway. Oh, that's fantastic. How difficult it is, I mean, because, boy, you really have to, when you're dealing with snow in the winters, it's a really is a no-win situation.
Yeah, it's the one responsibility that, you know, coast to coast, everywhere. Superintendents would tell you. I mean, if you wake up, there's 4, 5, 6 inches of snow here. You're not going to have anybody really disagree. 4, 5, 6 inches of snow up in Rhode Island when I was superintendent, I would have people disagree.
Yeah.
So, you know, again, I land in almost every case what I think is safe. The thing that I also do appreciate, though, there's two things I take into account. One is, and I think the public understands this. So if you're up by Garrisonville Road and you're on 17 West, you may have like a 3 to 5 degree weather difference.
Yeah.
But the other thing that I appreciate is that one thing schools do really well is that we do custodial care. So parents work and they need to know, well, am my kid going to be home or going to be at school? Do I need to find alternative supervision. So, yeah, it's a decision. I have a great team. Cherie's on that team. You know, they feed me all the information. At the end, though, you know, I take full responsibility, good, bad. Now, I have a Twitter account, and I say this because my Twitter account goes viral or goes really high.
Sure it does.
During weather days. And my colleague up in Prince William County Public Schools, Dr. Walt, they, for whatever reason, call snow days a lot quicker than we do. So I constantly get this from our students. Why can't you be like the superintendent of Prince William County? Actually, they even wrote a song about that. So if I could just bore you for a second. So I'm at Colonial Forge High School, and this girl comes up to me one day when I did like a two-hour delay instead of a snow day, something like that. And she says to me, why weren't we off today? So I didn't know her from a hole in the wall. But I said, oh, I remember you. You follow me on Twitter. She goes, yeah. and you said I should be like the superintendent in Prince William County. She goes, yeah. I said, yeah, a lot of us said that. Well, I just spoke to Prince William County. Your parents are all getting phone calls tonight. We are arranging 64 of you to start in Prince William County schools come Monday.
What a great story.
The girl looks at me. I picked the wrong kid. She got way too upset.
Yeah.
We're just joking. We're joking with you. I said, I'm joking with you. So so next year, I'll listen to my new cadre of students telling me when my call was right and when my call was wrong.
Yeah. Dr. Scott Kisner here with Stafford County Schools this morning on News Talk 1230 WFEA. You've got in June, really right after school ends, the Teaching and Learning Summit. And this has been done now the last few years, hasn't it?
Yeah, so this is our third year, I think.
This is our third year with it. It runs June 19th through the 21st, and we have about 500 teachers that are selected for the program, professional development for them.
I know in the past that this has been a high energy event, Sheree.
Absolutely, everyone gets really excited for it. Teachers are excited, administrators are excited. So it is an exciting time. Our learning and organizational development, they take the lead on this, planning it, implementing it, and honestly, it has been a wonderful event in past years.
But this really shows something like this. I mean, whether it's the Teaching and Learning Summit or just a lot of just some of the continuing education courses that the teachers have to do, for those who will always say, well, I'd like to be a teacher because they get the summers off. I live with a teacher, and I know too how much work that they do off season.
Yeah, and yeah, that's absolutely true. And on weekends and evenings. But this, what's also exciting about the summit is a lot of the teachers are being taught by teachers. Hmm. So, you know, the best way to learn something is to teach it. And it's an opportunity to honor we have a teacher of the – so I've only been, as we've stated many times, only here 8 months. So I've had inherited one teacher of the year, Dan Reichert. Reichert, am I saying his last name right?
Yes,
yeah.
Uh-huh.
And – most amazing teacher.
Oh, totally.
Yeah, like I go into his classroom and I never want to leave. You know, he's at Kate Wall Barrett, an amazing teacher. And he spoke the other night to our teachers of the year this year. And not only was his remarks very powerful, his presentation style was something that he should think about doing for other communities. And then this year, our Teacher of the Year is from North Stafford High School, Mr. Benjamin Diggs. And I've gotten to know Benjamin pretty well this year because he also serves on my equity committee. And he's just a hell of a nice guy. He does, he's like a technology instructor, but he's a technology teacher to help teachers in technology.
Yeah.
But what's most amazing about him, and this would go again with Dan, is that they never see anything except greatness with their kids, and they accept and respect every kid. So those are the type of teachers we want in front of our other teachers in these Teachers and Learning Summit. So yeah. You know, you get energized when you hear it from a peer. Yeah, sounds
yeah.
good.
No, I know this has been an exciting thing. We talk about in the summer going on vacations and what people do. What does a superintendent do during the summer?
Thank you for asking. Yeah, so, I will take, I usually try to take 5, maybe 7 vacation days. But beyond that, I do, you know, we're one of the few businesses that close down every year to reopen. You know, when you think about, so we'll do a lot of professional development for our leadership. We'll do a lot of curriculum reviews. I like to get an opportunity. Last year, I had a great opportunity. I went to visit Finland and went to visit and talk to educators in Helsinki. And I also got a chance to go to Germany and talk to educators and visit schools. And so I say that because I also use this opportunity to visit other communities and learn how they're doing. But summer is a pretty, my mother's not alive, but I love her. But again, I've been a superintendent since 1999. I've been an administrator since 1991. And she would always say the same thing. And I never got insulted because, you know, this is, you know, we think of school being closed during the summer,
yeah.
which is really, it's not closed. But she would always say, Scotty, do you work over the summer? And I said, Mom, this is going to be my first summer I'm going to work. And I would say that like 20 years in a row. This will be my first
yeah.
summer. You know, we actually started summer school already, you know, for students who want, high school students that want an additional credit.
Yeah.
Okay, it's not for remediation. It's not, you know, it's for students. So even though we're starting later, starting earlier and ending later than our others, we had to make some accommodations. You have to have 140 hours of seat time to get a new high school credit. So I think this week we started summer school already for a group of children.
Huh, yeah. Interesting. I just remember when you'd go back to school, the floors, there'd be a certain smell in the school because the floors were clean and slippery. And the boards were clean. That, to me, was all that ever happened in the summer.
I'm so glad you said that. So if you talk to anybody in any school system I've ever worked at, one of my pet peeves is this freaking waxing of the floors. Because
the first few weeks, you're slipping.
You're slipping. And then, you know, like, oh, don't get me started. Yeah, waxing. We waste all. Hey, Lily, if you're listening, could you find a cause related to waxing? We spend a lot of money on waxing, and then we have to change like where we have summer school, how we have, where we have a meeting, all around the waxing schedule.
Thank you. I'm glad I brought that up. For years I've always wondered about that.
Yeah.
Town Talk, financed by Deakin Wealth Management, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. Dr. Scott Kisner and Cherie Johnson with Stafford County Schools here this morning. We will wrap this up and talk about some events for some fundraising and some other events taking place this summer in Stafford County. We'll do that when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Opinions, we've all got them, and we'd like to hear yours on Town Talk. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Stafford School Superintendent Dr. Scott Kisner here this morning along with Cherie Johnson. We are talking Stafford County Schools. Last day of school for Spotsylvania today. Stafford has a couple more weeks, and then they will have the short summer this year, and then everybody then in the area will be on the same schedule. Cherie, you've got a couple of events coming up that people might want to know about. Karaoke in the Park.
Yes.
Is that new?
It is very new. We are so excited about this fun event. We're teaming up with Parks and Rec. This is a fundraiser for our Collect for Kids Back to School Supply Drive. Mm-hmm. So folks can come out, bring some school supplies, and they can sing a little karaoke. So that's going to be on Sunday, August 4th, from 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. at Pratt Park. So we're very excited about it. This is an effort for us to begin to collect school supplies. And then on August 7th, at 10 a.m., from 10 a.m. to noon, we are going to have our Collect for Kids Back to School Supply Drive. And that is where we gather volunteers and mm-hmm. we stuff the backpacks with the school supplies. And then the counselors come, pick up the backpacks, and deliver them to the schools, to the students that need them. So we're starting off our efforts August 4th with Karaoke in the Park. People can bring out their paper, pencils, tablets, whatever you have. And we will have a list of what we need on our website, staffordschools.net. And folks can look at the list and bring it, and they can sing a song.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Or in my case, I would bring something.
It will be interesting, Ted. We have a lot of folks already interested in participating. So this should be
a fun way to do it.
It should. We're really excited about it. It's our first time. We're teaming up with Parks and Rec. And we're all trying to work together in a partnership, part of our community partnership, collaborating to try to meet the needs of our students. So we're looking forward to it.
Well, and Cherie, the other thing is so often we take a look at Stafford and in Spotsylvania, even the city, and you'll just say, well, we're a very affluent area, but there are a lot of needs.
Absolutely. We have children in our community, in our school system, that do need school supplies. And also we host Operation Warm, Coats for Kids,
yeah.
in October, and we have maybe 50 1,500 coats that we buy, brand new coats, to give and distribute to our students in our school division. So you're absolutely right. There is a need there.
Well, and there's the schools, you're always involved in this. The Y collects things, and there are a lot of opportunities in make sure you participate in those.
Absolutely.
I mean, just even if it's just some paper or things like that.
Absolutely. We take everything, and the kids need it. And then even if we have extra, we hold on to it. And then maybe in January or February, sometimes teachers come to us and they say, I still have kids that need this. And so we'll also hold it and give them more in January or February to close out the school year.
Yeah. The other thing, Cherie, is you mentioned staffordschools.net. Mm-hmm. Bookmark that and use social media. You've got a great Facebook page that you keep up with things. There are a lot of things going on in Stafford County Schools.
Absolutely. We stay busy. That's right. We're at SCPS, and then we're also on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram.
Well, Dr. Kisner, quite a first year for you, quite a birthday for you this morning. I don't know that I've never had a school superintendent in here on his birthday. So this is a first.
Well, this is an honor. Thank you. It's been great. Yeah.
It's been a good first year. You'd only been here a couple of weeks, and I remember when Cherie said Dr. Kisner would like to come in, and I thought, well, he hasn't been here.
I'm still waiting for the school board. Every superintendent that starts a new job, they have like a welcome party, like an introduction. Any school board members listening, I'm still waiting for it. Okay,
you got here so soon, and everybody's and everything's been going on. Again, this will be it will be a short summer, but I remember when Spotsylvania did it, because a lot of parents wanted to ease into it. I remember they said this is the kind of thing you got to just pull the Band-Aid off and do it. And like I say, a year from now, every people will not even remember it. Staffordschools.net is where you can keep up on all of this. Dr. Scott Kisner, happy birthday, Dr.
Thank
Kisner.
Thank you very much.
Cherie, good to see you. Cherie Johnson,
see you always.
With
Thank you.
Stafford County Schools. That is it for Town Talk. Thank you for listening. We will see you next week on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Have a great weekend.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own, and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.